Okay, we're on Lamed Tes Amid Bey, 6 lines from the bottom. We now are going to take one idea from our Mishnah and make a contradiction to it from a statement, and then we're going to resolve it. Rav Tuvi bar Rav Kisna l'Ravo. Rav Tuvi, the son of Rav, asked through the following contradiction from our Mishnah somewhere else. He asked the question to Rav. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Kol ha'oisa mitzvah achas mativim lo. Anyone who does a mitzvah, Hashem will do good for him, depending on how we interpret it. But he said, if you do one more mitzvah than an aveira, it tips you on the good side, and then what's going to happen? Well, then God's going to punish you for the aveiras you do in this world. So he'll prepare for you a good next world. But the focus was on doing a mitzvah. What did the Mishnah not address the issue? What if I don't do an aveira? We didn't talk about that. The Mishnah only talked about if somebody does a mitzvah, it'll end up good for you in some way. If you don't do a mitzvah, it'll end up bad for you in some way. But that's only regarding positive mitzvahs. What about the whole aspect of the negative mitzvahs? What if I don't do an aveira? Do I get anything for that? What's the implication from the Mishnah that only focused on the doing and didn't mention about the not doing? So the implication of the Mishnah is, asa ein, if you actively perform the mitzvah, yes, then you get a reward. But lo asa, but if you did not perform a mitzvah, in other words, you didn't do anything negative, he doesn't get any reward.
Wait, so are we saying that if you don't do anything, you're just a part of God, you don't get a reward? Or are we saying that if you don't do something you weren't supposed to do?
That's right. You don't do something you weren't supposed to do. We'll see the next line.
You'll Shabbos, so you didn't do anything you weren't supposed to do.
That's right. I wasn't Machal Shabbos.
Right.
I didn't take a car. I didn't go in a car to drive to Shul.
So wouldn't that be like a mitzvah?
That's what Gemara's asking. It doesn't seem from the Mishnah, it doesn't seem you get credit for it. Because the Mishnah says if you do, the Mishnah said if you do a mitzvah, by me not driving in a car, I didn't do anything.
Well, you withheld.
Okay. Then it should have said, if I withheld from doing an aveira. There's two ways of describing being a good Jew. Okay. One is doing mitzvahs, the other is not sinning.
So
doesn't seem that not sinning gets you anywhere. That from the Mishnah at least, because the Mishnah only focused on the doing.
Right, I get it. So for example, you make Kiddush on Shabbos, you did a mitzvah. You didn't turn the lights on, you didn't drive, you didn't do any Machal Shabbos. It's not a mitzvah. That's what
the Mishnah seems to be saying. It only says if you did. The Mishnah could have written, if you did a mitzvah or you didn't do an aveira, then Hashem's going to do good for you.
That's like saying Shemor is not a mitzvah, but Zohar is.
Well, sort of. So the Gemara is saying, well, that's going to be a problem because there's a brisa that's going to contradict this. Varamini. But let's see the following brisa. The brisa says specifically, Yashav v'lo avra aveira, one who sits and does not do an aveira, no sin lo schar ka'ois a mitzvah. You get rewarded as if you did a mitzvah. So that's the problem with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, only when you do. What about this brisa? So Gemara's going to answer, Rava's going to answer, Amar Lei, well, you got to understand what that brisa means. What does the brisa mean? I got enough space now? Yeah. It says, Hasam over there in that brisa, it's speaking, it's speaking where a person is confronted with the opportunity to do an avera, and he is saved from it. Meaning to say, he had a desire to do the avera, and then he didn't do it. Now, that's our Mishnah is saying where he wasn't confronted with an avera. So we have three things. We have doing a mitzvah is one area. Then there is an avera has come, you're in the grips of being tempted to do an avera. And there's a yetzer hara there to do the avera. We're going to give you lots of examples in a minute. And there was a strong urge to do the avera. You had to fight the urge to do the Aveira, and you didn't do the Aveira, then you're rewarded for that. Our Mishnah was excluding where I didn't really have any desire to do the Avera, and I didn't do the Avera. You're not going to get rewarded for that because there was no struggle. So let's say, for example, you had a tremendous urge to eat treif. It's like, mamish, the treif was in your hand. A friend came over and says, remember good old days? Here, it's a good place. Treif, pepperoni pizza, it's your favorite. And you're holding yourself back? Well, now, even though you didn't eat it, you definitely have been doing something. You've been exercising self-control. Right? That's what the Braisa means if you sat and didn't do an Avera. That would not be in contrast. Now, the Mishnah was only excluding, let's say today, okay, any of you guys, you're not driving on Shabbos. Should you get rewarded for not driving on Shabbos? Was there any temptation for you to drive on Shabbos?
Yeah, but the only reason there's no temptation is because we've trained ourselves not to be tempted.
So good. So now you don't get rewarded anymore. So the first few years when you were tempted to drive and you didn't drive, you got rewarded for it. But now that there's no temptation, why should you get rewarded for something that you're not even interested in doing? So that's what our Mishnah is saying. Our Mishnah says if you do a mitzvah, you get rewarded. By just not doing an Avera, you're not going to get rewarded just by doing nothing. The Braisa says you get rewarded for not doing an Avera when the temptation comes. Our Mishnah wouldn't argue with that. Because then there's an actual doing that's really happening. And look what Rashi says over here. There's no mitzvah greater than this, overcoming your desire to sin. So that's going to be interesting. So positive mitzvahs, everybody's the same. Everybody's got to put on tefillin today. If you put on tefillin, good. If not, it's bad. Right? You got ochveis, you got to give tzedakah. If you got money to give tzedakah, you have to give tzedakah. Right? There's nothing to discuss. In the realm of the lavin, the transgressions, it will depend a lot on the type of person that you are. So let's say, for example, you shouldn't worship idols. Okay? And if you want to worship an idol today? No. Okay, but there are people who have a temptation. So those who have to overcome their temptation, they're going to get rewarded. For those who don't. But you know, this you shouldn't embarrass people. Okay, so if you're alone at home, you're alone to embarrass. But what if you're in a public situation, a person did something to you and you got upset with him, and now you're tempted to embarrass him. And now you have to, there's a struggle now. So then you get rewarded. So the realm of getting rewarded for not committing negative averas depends a lot on how much desire you have to do them. Now certainly you shouldn't say, oh, I get it. Okay, I think I'm going to start desiring bad things so I can overcome that. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that because that's putting yourself in a test that you could fail. And that would be an avera. It would be an avera to put yourself in a position to desire to do that. Okay, so that's what it means. Now that we understand. So our mission that says you get rewarded for doing a mitzvah, yes. I don't get rewarded just for not doing an avera. But it will agree to the price. I will get rewarded if I had to struggle and fight against it, then I will be rewarded. Now the Gemara is going to be unbelievable. It's going to give you about three or four stories where great rabbis were tempted to sin. That itself is an interesting concept. And here we got about two or three stories. Kiha de Rav Chanina bar Pepi. Let's look at the story of Rav Chanina bar Pepi. What happened? Tavasei hahi matronosa. A certain noblewoman propositioned him to do an avera. Okay, so I guess she must have been a very beautiful person, and she wanted to do immoral behavior. Amar milsa. So in order to discourage her, he said something. Okay, so what did he say? So the commentaries, in other words, He didn't, you know, she could go after him, she can cause him trouble, because, remember, she's a noble woman. Now, you gotta figure, you know, you just can't say no to a noble woman, because she's got power. Right? I mean, he doesn't want to, but he's gotta figure a way out of it in a diplomatic way, so to speak. So what did he do? He said something. What did he say? So the commentary said, he said Hashem's holy name. Or, he protected himself from a woman with witchcraft, which, though generally forbidden, may be employed to avoid sin. In other words, he did some kind of verbal words that would help him out in this situation. That either she will leave him alone or whatever. So but she won't deal with him anymore. Now, this is what he did. Umalei nafshe shchichna v'kiba. What did he do? He said a bunch of holy words, so now he had, his body was covered with boils and scabs. Made himself look ugly. He must have been a handsome man. This is why the woman wanted him. So he said some Kabbalistic incantations to make himself look ugly. This way he avoids the problem, because now she won't want him anymore. Not so simple. Of the Hemil Savitsa, she did her own witchcraft and cured him. So now he's still a good-looking guy. She wants him, and you know, and she's tempting him. So now, what does he do? Next round, Orak Tasha Bahube Bani. What did he do? He ran and hid in a certain bathhouse, which had mazikim in it, which had demons, and therefore there are demons there. So she'll stay away from such a place. Island Basrina, it was such a demonic place. There are certain rules about demons. Generally, demons are only in areas that are uninhabited. And if you're one person, they can get you. General rule is, if two people go into an area that's uninhabited, the fact there's two, demons don't come when there's two. Well, he went, and there's another rule, demons usually don't come out in the daytime. Well, he went to a place that was such a demonically strong area, that this was, demons would be there even if there were two people there, and even in broad daylight, demons would be there. So he went there, and that's a place she would not follow him into. Okay? So that's how far he went. So this battle was so dangerous that even the combination of another person's presence and them had no protection. Rechina hid in that place to escape from the noble woman. Okay. Lamachar, the next day, Amalei Rabban, and the rabbis asked him a question. Because they noticed, like, what was he doing there? It's not normal. You don't go in such a place. You don't put yourself in a dangerous place. He says, what was going on? Manitra, who protected you? In other words, you went to a place with demons, in this bathhouse, right? An empty bathhouse. And you came out alive the next day. So they asked, how did you survive? Amar Laho, he said, going on to the next page, Shnei, two. Okay, don't do this to me. It's been behaving not so nicely lately. He said, you know who came? Shnei Nosei Kesar, two bearers of the Caesar. You know, he said, two of the Caesar's soldiers came and protected me. Now, that's really not true. Why? Look at Rechina's modesty prevented him from publicly admitting his righteousness. I mean, really, he was such a big tzaddik that he alone had to have power that he wouldn't be bugged by the demons. But he didn't want to brag that he was so great. So he didn't explain that the two sentinels were actually the two angels that always accompany the righteous. Really, he had two malachim, and two malachim protected him, and therefore he was okay. But he didn't want to say that, so he said there were two guards from the Caesar who was there and helped me from that. And what did they do? Shomroni kol halayla. They guarded me the entire night. Okay, so Amrle, they said to him, Shemadvar Erva Bayachav, maybe you're confronted with an opportunity to commit an immoral act. And they would say, wondering, what are you doing there? Like, you're in the bathhouse by yourself. Well, who would protect you? They're saying, you know, were you confronted with maybe an immoral act? Like, was someone trying to get you? Vinitzaltamenu, and by subjugating your desires, you were saved from it. Right? And maybe that's what was going on over there, right? And you save yourself from it. So it seems from this part of the story that, he did feel a certain temptation. You gotta admit, even a tzaddik, it's hard to understand, but it seems there was some kind of, you were saved from that. The tanina, for we learned in a braisa, they said to him, someone who's confronted with an opportunity to perform an immoral act. Benitzel Haimeno, and he subjugated his desires. Oh, Sinlonais, they do a miracle for you. In other words, what was he saying? They were saying, what are you doing in the bathhouse? He said, who protect you? Well, two of the king's guards. He says, you know, I don't know, God. I don't know if it was maybe Hashem was protecting you. Because maybe you were tempted by an avera and you went and overcame your desires, and then God did a miracle for you. When you overcome your desires, Hashem does a miracle for you.
This is kind of like Joseph.
Yes. So it seems from the story, as incredible as it is, that, you know, these were great rabbis. But yet, you know, if a woman keeps bugging you, you know, there's some kind of temptation. is there. And he wanted to run away from the temptation, right? Because if he stays much longer, she could be tempting. So he ran away. And because he ran away, Hashem did a miracle for you. So what's the whole point of the story, though? The point is, you were confronted with an Avera. The Avera was brought in your lap. You had overcome whatever desire was there. And you get rewarded for it. And look at the reward. Hashem did a miracle for him, that he went into a dangerous place, and Hashem protected him, and he survived. So that's an example of not doing Avera when there was temptation. Now, the Brisa continues. That Brisa that said, if you had an opportunity to do an Avera and you resist, you get rewarded for it. The Brisa continues by quoting a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Gibore Koach, strong warriors, Ose Devaro, who do what Hashem wants, Lishma B'kol Dvarav, listen to his words. That's a Pasuk in Tehillim. So what does the Brisa mean? Who are such people who are strong warriors? Kagon Rabbi Tzadok B'chave Rav, like Rabbi Tzadok and his friends. And what's the story with there? Again, Rabbi Tzadok Tavate Ahi Matronusa. Again, a noble woman propositioned Rabbi Tzadok to do an immoral act. Amar La, he said to her, Chalas L'libi B'lomit, see, my heart is weak, I can't do it, I'm an old guy, you know, it's not going to go for me. But he says, he says, Ika midi lomechel, is there anything for me to eat? I have to eat something, I'm weak. Amar Lay, she says, Ika davar tami, there's something not kosher to eat. Amar La, he says, my nafgamina, he said to her, what is to be deduced from this occurrence? What do you mean? I mean, in other words, why is there only non-kosher food available? The answer is the avid ha achul ha, that whoever performs this relations with the Gentile woman deserves to eat this non-kosher food. In other words, it's a siman that if he would have been involved with living with her, so it's a sign that, you know, that that's the only food you got. So you see, I really shouldn't be with you. Cause it's, if I would be with you, it would be like I'd be eating treif. So that was a simon Hashem was showing me that's the only food you have to give me. So anyway, but she's still gonna go after him. So shagar tanu kamanchai. She lit the oven and put the meat inside of it. Solik v'yosigave. So now what did he do? Rav Tzadok climbed up and sat inside the oven. Okay, now we got a problem here. What's going on over here? But look what the notes say. The woman had great political power, and Rav Tzadok was unable to escape. If she wanted, she had him killed. This is the problem over here. You can't say no to these ladies. They just will kill you, right? Now, there's a whole issue over here. Do you have to give up your life? Whatever. Anyway, he hides in the oven.
An arayus, you have to give up.
Yeah. So then he's trying to get out of this. So he climbed up and sat inside the oven. Amrlay, she said to him, my eye, what's the meaning of this? Amrlay, he said, David ha, blah, blah, blah. Whoever performs this immoral act will fall into Gehenna. So now she's saying, listen, I'm going into this oven. He says, what are you doing? Well, you know what? If I'm going to fool around with you, I deserve to go to Gehenna. I might as well start tasting it now. You know, obviously, you know, so you know, it doesn't make sense for you to burn me up, but it's better you should cook the bad trafe meat, cook me as well. Better I should burn and die. I don't do this avera. Amra lay, she said to him, Yadi kuli hai lo taritav. Had I known that you regard the matter so severe, I wouldn't have bothered you. In other words, she said, okay, I'll let you go. So again, second case where a man was tempted and he went to great lengths not to sin. Final story. Rav Kahana hava kamazavin dikuli. Rav Kahana had a profession. He sold baskets. Right? Now, the type of baskets that women who do weaving would put their implements in it. So his customers were primarily women. Well, guess what? Tavatayahi matunisi. A certain noble woman came who liked to buy the baskets and she propositioned him. Amar La, he said to her, Ezel Ikshit Nafshe, I will go and adorn myself. He says, give me a few minutes. He's trying to buy for time. What did he do? Solik, he went up to the roof, the Kanafel Me'igralar, he jumped off from the roof to the ground. You know, he jumped off. Okay. Now, I guess if he had no choice, he'll have to kill himself. Because he had to get out of doing this Avera. Also, Elio comes along. like Superman, and Kaplan, and he caught him, flew in and caught him. And Armel and Eliezer said, man, you gave me a lot of work to do. Itracht and Harba Mea Parsi, you bought me how to jump 400 Parsis to save you. It was a leaping jump to save your life. So now Amar Leiser of Kahana said to him, reflecting on the story, he said, me Garamli, what caused me to be in such a situation that a woman's propositioning me? You know why? Because why? Because Lavan, he says, because I have poverty. I'm so poor, I have no other occupation. The only occupation I have is one that has to make me be in contact with women. So you know, he said to Leo, listen, it wasn't my fault. I got no choice. I have no money. I have to get into such a lowly profession. And Nebuch, women come, and I have to deal with them. So what did Eliyahu do? Yoivle, Shifa the Dinri. He gave him a chest full of dinars, meaning Eliyahu made him rich. Now you don't have to work anymore. You can sit and learn your whole life. And don't worry, you have to have jobs with women that are not good for you. Be that as it may, we had three stories, and in each one of, well, at least in two of the three stories, you see immediately the rewards they had. Now, I don't know why the Gemara had to bring three examples. One example should have been enough. I don't know, the commentators will probably talk about it. But you see from this, if you avoid sinning, so it can be in all kinds of situations, you know. But if the struggle to avoid it, you do get rewarded. And that is the end of that sugya. Now, the next sugya is going to go back to the brisa that we brought before of the six things that you get, eat the fruits of them in this world, and you get rewarded in the next world as well. And the Gemara is going to explain the sources for that. And then we're going to say, well, aren't there others beyond these? Why'd you only mention these six? Aren't there others that you get rewarded? You get, remember, these are mitzvahs that the expression is the principal reward is reserved for the world to come. The fruits of this, you benefit in this world. Those are the examples. So Gemara is first going to say, what are the proofs to that? Then the Gemara is going to say, aren't there other examples of that? And they'll have to answer that question. Rami le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava is going to go back, and we come back to that Mishnah in Peah that we discussed. So Rava asked the Rav Nachman. First he says, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, that was on Monday. Elu dvarim sha'adam ochel osan. These are the mitzvahs that a person, that if you do them, what happens? The sha'adam ochel osan, va'ochel perisayim balamazeh, you enjoy their fruit in this world. Karen, and the principal reward is in the next world. And what did we say? Elohim. These are them. Let's look at the first one. Kibudavaim. Oh, first list them all. Honoring your father and mother. Ugamilas chosadim, acts of loving kindness. Vavos shalom shmirom lachavero. Bringing peace between people. Vitalmatar kinakalam. And talmatar zigualim. That's four mitzvahs that were mentioned. So now what's the proof? What's the proof that you enjoy the fruits of this world and the principle is in the next world? So it goes to each one of the four to prove it. The kivut of aim, Steve, what does it say about honoring a father and mother? It says, Laman Yarichun Yamecha. It says so that your days will be lengthened. Ulaman Yitavloch, and it will be good for you. So now, what does that mean? So length of days means eternal life. That's the world to come. That's the principle that's being reserved for the next world. And that should be good for you refers to the goodness enjoyed in this world. So that's how you see you're going to be good for you in this world and in the next world. What about Gemilas Chasadim? Acts of loving, kindness. The Pasuk says, Rodef Tzedakah V'Chesed, one who runs after righteousness and kindness, what happens? Yimtza, you'll find chayim, life, tzedakah, charity, and covenant honor. So life again, what does life mean? Life in the world to come. Charity and honor means in this world. Okay, vavala shalom, ksiv, what about bringing peace between people? It says, bakesh shalom, virad vehu. It says, seek peace and pursue it. Well, what's the proof from that? Seek peace and pursue it. The Amar of Abba, says, Asya Redifa Redifa. Let's make a Hekesh Redifa to Redifa. Okay? What do we see this? Because Ksiv Hocha says over here, Bakesh Om Vredfeu. Seek peace and run after it. Uksiv Hasam, and it says over there, Rodev Tzedakah V'Chesed. He runs after tzedakah and kindness. Okay, what is that saying? One who pursues charity and kindness will, remember we had the pasuk before. The pasuk before says, one who pursues charity and kindness will receive life, charity, and honor. That was the pasuk before. So since it says running over here, and it says running over there by doing kindness. And what happens when you do kindness? You find life, charity, and honor. Oh, so just like over there, life, charity, honor means benefits in this world and the next. Same thing over here. By running after making peace, you get the same things that the running over there got. So that's the third one. What about B'talmud Torah? What does it say by learning Torah? Ksiv, it says, Kihu chayecha, it is your life. Life refers to good life in this world. V'ayrech yamim, and extended days, it means the world to come. So those were the sources that these four mitzvahs give you a reward in this world, the fruits in this world, and the principle for the next world. Now Gemara asks the following question. Wait a minute. What about Bishiluach HaKan? What about sending away the mother bird? Why did the Brisa not mission, not list sending away the mother bird as something get rewarded in this world and the next? Because why? Ksiv, let's look at what it says. The same thing by honoring parents. Same words. Laman yitavlach, it should be good for you. Good for you what? In this world. Varachas yamin, you're going to have extended days, meaning in the next world. It's exactly the same wording as... Doesn't matter, but it's the same two clauses. So that was the proof by honoring parents that you get it in this world and the next. So why didn't we add sending away the mother bird? It's the exact same clause. So that's Gemara's question. Listing Amayo. So say this one too. So we should have five. Five should be listed. Gemara answers, well, one of the classic answers, Tana Vashire. The Tana stated them and left some over. You think he's going to list everyone? You don't have to list everyone. Yeah, you're going to just list a few. That's a standard answer. Gemara said, well, you can't use that standard answer here. You know why? Because when it just says, you know, this and this and this, but how did it start off? It prefaced, Tani Tana, but the Tana states explicitly, Eilu Dvarim, these are the things. If it would have just said, this, this, and this, you get the fruits and the benefits. But it started off, these. So when it says these, what does these mean? These and only these. V'adam, you want to say Tana V'Shire, he left some out? You can't say he left some out if you preface by saying these. If you don't say these, just say A, B, C, D, give you the fruits of this world and the benefits of the next world. That's okay, maybe he left something out. But if he says these does not imply that is anymore. So that's a question. So why didn't they list this one? So Rava answers his own question. Rav Edi Asperli. Rav Edi explained to me why we don't put it in. By first expounding on a verse. The pasuk says like this. Imru tzadik kitov. Praise the righteous person who is good. Ki pri malaleim yochlu. For the fruit of their deeds they will eat. Okay, now how we define the tzadik? Imru, praise the tzaddik, kitov, who is good. You want to tell me a tzaddik who isn't good? Praise the tzaddik who's good, and he's going to get benefits. So he asks, is there a tzaddik who's good and is there a tzaddik who's not good that we're saying this is a tzaddik who's good? He says, yes, there is. We're going to start defining a tzaddik who's good and a tzaddik who's not good. What do we mean? Ela tov, what does it mean tov? A tzaddik who's good is tov l'shamayim v'libriyus. If you're good to heaven and you're good to people, zeh tzaddik tov. That's what it means, a good tzaddik. In other words, when he does things that Hashem likes and other people like. In other words, let's say the guy, so we'll have to see. Let's say the guy does certain things. Let's say sending away you put it on tefillin. What would you say? Is that good for God? Does God like that? Is it good for other people?
No.
No? Right? So that's a tzaddik who's not good. Meaning to say, this mitzvah is a tzaddik, but it's not good for other people. Right? So let's say a tzaddik, he engages in all the mitzvahs that's between him and God is really amazing, but he really doesn't do much for other people. He doesn't do a lot of chesed. He doesn't bring peace between people. He doesn't hurt anybody, but he doesn't do anything for other people. So that's a tzaddik who's not tov. A tzaddik who's tov, he does things that Hashem wants, he does things for other people too. That's a good tzaddik. But what if he's tov l'shamayim v'ra l'briyos? What if he's good for heaven, but bad towards his fellow creatures? Well, that's a tzaddik she'ein a tov. That's a tzaddik who's not so good, and he will not bear fruit in this world. Now look what the point is. Thus, the Mishnah omits the mitzvah sending away the mother bird from its list of precepts whose fruits once enjoys in this world, since that mitzvah, though it fulfills the will of the Creator, is a mitzvah that does not benefit the person's fellow creatures. Now hold on. Certainly the reference here is not to a person who fulfills the precepts that governs one's relation with God, but not those precepts that governs one's relation to his fellow man. We don't mean a guy who davens and learns and is bad to other people, because then you're sinning against God also, because God does not do it. Such a person is not good towards heaven either, since he violated God's commandments regarding how to relate towards people. Rather, reference to a righteous person who focuses on other people's deficiencies, although he does so for the sake of heaven. In other words, I give people mussar, I discipline people, and that's certainly what God wants. Well, he does so for the sake of heaven. He's not a tzaddik who's good to people. But a righteous person who focuses on the good in other people is a tzaddik who is good to people and enjoys the fruits of his actions in the world. Means to say is, a tzaddik who's not good to other people means he's not actively doing good things. Not that he's doing bad things. He's not insulting Jews and that. He just say he avoids people. He has nothing to do with people. He sits and does his mitzvahs, but doesn't really help out other people. Okay, let's help other people. Now, so therefore, what do we say? The mitzvahs, these four mitzvahs, of honoring parents, of doing acts of kindness, of making peace between people. These are mitzvahs that what? That are mitzvahs that you're being good to other people, and you're being good to God, obviously, because God wants to be good to other people. This is really other people mitzvahs. Your parents is definitely another person. Acts of kindness, that's only focused on other people. Making peace between people, focused on other people. Now that makes God happy, and it makes people happy. Oh, so for making people happy, you'll be benefited in this world. For making God happy, you'll benefit in the next world. Sending away a mother bird, who are you making happy?
Good.
Just God. Okay, that's why it's on the list. The Pasuk says two things, right? It says two things like mother. We'll have to answer that. But that's why it's excluded. So that's why let's look at this paragraph. Thus, although the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird indeed produces reward enjoyed by the person in this world, as evident from the verse initially cited by Rav, that rewards detracts from the principle. The mishnah lists only those precepts whose benefits the person in this world accrue solely from the dividends. As indicated verse in Isaiah, the fruits of one's good deeds are enjoyed when the deeds are good to make us look good. In other words, yes, you will, when you send a mother bird away, you will benefit from in this world. But it's going to take away a little bit from the next world. See, you'll get this world and the next world for sending away the mother bird. But whatever you're supposed to get in the next world, let's say, whatever, 100 points of next world, well, if you're going to get it good in this world, it's going to take off 10 or 15 points. While on the other hand, you honor your parents, you're getting 100 points in the next world, and now you get interest on that 100 points. And that's what the benefits in this world. You follow? So it comes out, these mitzvahs, the brisa, you do the mitzvah. Here's the chunk of reward. God says, I'm putting that on long-term deposit. And now, while you're alive, you're going to accrue interest on that long-term deposit and enjoy it in this world. But those are mitzvahs that you do what? That I want you to do, and you're helping other people. Sending away the mother bird, you get a good reward in the next world. It does say you're going to get benefits in this world, but that's going to be by withdrawing a little from that. And the Mishnah doesn't list those. Look at 23. The mitzvahs listed in the Mishnah, however, are all mitzvahs that benefit the Creator's world and also benefit one's fellow creatures. Whoa. Now you have an unbelievable chiddush coming out here. What's the fourth thing? You got it? Got it? In other words, honoring parents, you do God's will and you're helping other people. You do acts of kindness, you're doing God's will, you're helping other people. You bring peace to people, you're doing God's will. But wait, there's a fourth one. What was the fourth one? Learning Torah is equal to all of them. And this is the chiddush that's going to blow people's minds. Look what the brackets say. Studying Torah benefits one's fellow creatures, since it leads to the fulfillment of all the commandments, including those that cause one to benefit his fellow creature. That's the Rambam Mamish says it in Peah. In other words, or alternatively, the Torah scholar benefits mankind by being able to provide guidance to people in matters of Torah law. But the chiddush, when a person, if a person, here's what people have trouble with this idea. That's what Pharish Gemara is saying. When a person sits and learns Torah his whole life, he's not just doing it for God. It benefits everybody. It benefits everyone. That's what the Rambam is saying. The power of learning Torah creates good energies. So a person, so when people say, what does it help the guys are sitting and learning? This Gemara says it's equal to all of them. It's equal to helping people. It's help stopping machloikas. That is, and this is beyond one's intuitive logic. But it does cause all these things to happen. And therefore learning Torah is the greatest way you can help mankind. Okay? So that's a good way to end for today. Yeah.